at Premier High School. We are a tuition-free charter school serving grades 9 through 12. We offer a personalized program which gives you the opportunity to recover credits, graduate early, attend school around a work schedule, career and technical training, earn college credits while in high school, become eligible for military service. Learn more about how you can reach your goal.
Okay, this is Sister Mona. I just pray that a sister that's listening today is doing well. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, just ask for any sister that's listening to these teachings that they bring about a lot of clarity. If she is just knows that something's wrong when she comes across things like this, that these scriptures help bring about a lot of light and help her understand how spiritually dangerous these things really are. Ask all these prayers, your Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Every once in a while, I come across something online or some news article or something like that, and I read it, and it's actually quite spiritually dangerous. And I'm going to just start doing some teachings like this to help any sister that would probably come across something like this, know something's wrong, but not really know why, okay, and could possibly get deceived by it. This particular article is titled, Three Things Christians Do That Non-Christians Despise, okay? And this is from someone who's supposedly a Christian, but you judge a tree by its fruit. They're selling things on their website and employing what's pretty popular, unfortunately, these days, marketing techniques and strategies, okay, to grow churches. I guess this person is like a teacher, okay? He teaches preachers, apparently, and extremely popular, too, it looks like. Just off the bat, and I'm going to go over this with some scriptures here in a moment, but I just want to just quickly, there's a bunch to go over. But I just want to go over some simple things, okay, that offhand you can just tell are wrong and go against what scripture says. He's charging for a lot, okay? He's making money, and there's a warning about this, and I'll go over the scriptures here in a moment. In the book of Peter, off of the church, okay? So all of his courses, he's selling books, and just he's trying to sell just make money off of the church, okay? Which Jesus said, freely you have been given, freely you give, okay? And then here, also too, his name is all over the place, okay? So he's like a little miniature, I guess, star, okay, in all honesty. Okay, in all honesty, it's fame, okay? And the scripture warns about this also too. It's the fruit of the flesh. His name is all over the website. The website is named after him. You want to be careful when you see things like this. Now, these types of things are common, but Jesus says, he warns about this. If anybody comes in their own name, okay, he says that the world will receive him, okay? But he comes in the Father's name. Jesus Christ comes in the Father's name. And as Christians, we come in Jesus' name, okay? The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ, not ourselves, okay? Even the Apostle Paul warns about this in the book of Corinthians. He says, you know, because they're people, the church at Corinth is going after people's names. You know, I'm of Paul, I'm of this, I'm of that. He's like, no, you know, we don't glorify ourselves, okay? So that's something to be very dangerous, cautious about. That's a warning sign. And then another warning sign, just the title, it says, Three Things Christians Do That Non-Christians Despise. It really doesn't matter, okay? And I'll go over the scriptures again with this, okay? But what the world thinks of you, you can't. Okay, Jesus says that if the world hated him, the world's going to hate us, okay? We can't worry about what people think. You obey the Holy Spirit, and your people are not going to like you, okay? But odds are they're not going to, okay? Sometimes you can win them over and things like that, but everything's directed by the Holy Spirit, but you can't even consider, okay, doing things according to what people think of you, okay? So just off the bat, I haven't started the article, but just right there, I want you to be aware of that all these things are already letting you know that this is not of the Holy Ghost, okay?
So I'm going to explain why the whole premise of this article itself is not biblical. And it's important because I've actually come across this quite often to where Christians are being criticized by other Christians, supposed Christians, a lot of times they're, in all honesty, false teachers or just lost Christians. And one Christian is judging another Christian, saying, well, you're not, behaving the way that you should to win over the unbeliever. Like, the things that you're doing, they don't like, stuff like that. The church, basically, I hope I'm explaining that well. Christians that are lost or altogether apostate, judging oftentimes fruitful Christians, okay, for being fiery. They really are, in all honesty, and saying, well, you're not, you're not behaving the way that you should, to win over a unbeliever. Okay. Okay, let's start here, because the whole thing is just off on so many levels doctrinally, because you're predestined, okay, by grace, if you are going to be saved. So it's not the way that you talk or the way that you do this, the way that you do that, that's going to get a person to inherit eternal life. They're already either predestined or not, and you just obey the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, go talk to them, you do it. The Holy Spirit says, go pray for them, you do it. The Holy Spirit says, do this, you do it. You know what I mean? That's really all that happens, is you just obey the Holy Ghost. So it's not our works that get us to heaven, and certainly not our works that get other Christians to go to heaven. It's not how well you behave and the way that you say things that's going to get a person saved. No, it's just your obedience to the Holy Spirit. You can't ever figure out how to get a soul to go to heaven. It's just walking in the Holy Ghost. Okay, but this is why the whole premise for this article is just not biblical. This is John chapter 15, starting at verse 18. It says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And this is Christ speaking. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So off the bat, the world's going to hate you. Okay? It's just, you're not going to be liked, so we can't even worry about it. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. It says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And then this is 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that touches on predestination and grace. Basically, if someone is not saved, but they are of God, they'll hear you, okay? Because you're just waiting for them to get to a breaking point. You get through to them, the Holy Spirit leads you, go talk to them, and they actually are of God. They're just not saved yet. And they'll hear you and go, wait, you know what? I do need to get saved. Something's wrong. I'm not happy here. And then bam, you just evangelized. And then this is where you want to take a look at the person altogether and their teaching. Because anytime you see someone and they're supposed to be teaching you something that's of the Holy Spirit, but you got to pull out that credit card, something's wrong. Okay, scripture says, freely ye have been given, freely give. You're supposed to make donations to, anything that's of any teacher or church or whatever, pastor, organization, whatever, anything that's Christian, that's of the Holy Spirit, that is blessing you and helping you, you're supposed to donate and support it. Okay. So I'm not saying that you just kind of leave them hanging, but they're not supposed to charge you. Okay. You shouldn't be pulling out your credit card. And this is, and it's all over this website. I mean, if you, his books are for sale. If you want to take classes and have teachings from him, you got to pay money. It's all money oriented, okay. And this is 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1. It says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, sorry, and bring in upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. And through, this is a point that I want to hit, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Okay, so anybody who's making money off of you, okay, to where you got to pull out that credit card or pay this amount of money before they'll give you something. Well, that's a red flag, okay?
Okay, and then the website itself is named after him, and he's got his name up in the top left-hand corner. So, I'm sorry, but now I need to explain this first before I get into this. If you're worldly, sisters, okay, I'm just going to be honest with you, this type of stuff will appeal to you, okay? And he's got testimonials also all over the website of how great his teachings are and his books are, okay? Again, if you are worldly, these things will feel appealing to you. They'll be appealing to you and they'll feel comfortable, okay? If you don't see something wrong with this, and if something within you, if the Holy Spirit within you doesn't go, and kind of give you that red light, then you really do need to seek that out with the Lord and just pray by grace. Remember, we're saved by grace. This is the covenant. You can ask for these things, and they're according to God's will. This is the book of 1 John, and you know that he heareth us, okay? And you'll have it, and it is according to his will for you not to be worldly, okay? And you can just do that and pursue it by faith. Because if these things are not strange to you and not uncomfortable to you, but are actually comfortable, then there's something wrong, okay? Because his name's all over the website, and he's authoring the book, and like I mentioned, his name's in the corner there. And this is not the way that a vessel of the Holy Spirit is. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start here at verse 12. It says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Now this I say, that every one of you say, if I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. Okay? You can see, as a vessel of the Holy Spirit, he's like, no, I mean, in all honesty, a vessel of the Holy Spirit's going to let you know their name so that you can address them. Okay? You know what I mean? So you can talk to them. Other than that, their life is dead and buried and hidden in Christ. Okay? They are not about themselves. They are not trying to get glory from you. They are not trying to exalt themselves. They are not trying to call attention to themselves. They are not trying to be, in all honesty, a star. That's what these people are doing, in all honesty. Okay? They're like, it's just like the rest of the world, how you know what a movie star's name is. Okay? You know what some singer's name is. Okay? And their album is plastered with their name. It's the same thing, but it's within the church. It's absolute vanity. It's the work of the flesh. Okay? And it's, here, me, I, my name. The guy's totally alive. Okay? His life is not dead and buried in Christ. Because, like I just mentioned, his name is all over the website. You know what I mean? It's named after him. If you are truly a vessel of the Holy Spirit, that would be like a nightmare to you, because you don't want that type of attention. Because when someone's filled with the Holy Ghost and they have that attention upon themselves, it makes problems for them spiritually. They don't like it, okay? So that's why so often you hardly even, when you have a real vessel of the Holy Spirit, like I said, you know their name so you can address them. But other than that, they are focused on glorifying Christ, okay? And then again, this is John chapter 5. Starting at verse 41, this is Jesus speaking. I receive, I'm sorry. Verse 41, I'm sorry. It says, I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, ye will receive him. How can ye believe who receive honor from one another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And that's the truth, because someone who's really filled with the Holy Spirit, they have got a really strong and powerful relationship with the Holy Spirit and with the Father and with Christ, and they are happy. And they don't need all that attention. They don't want it, because it actually provides a distraction for them and it pulls them into this world. And they don't like that. Okay, because they really are of the Holy Spirit and they've got the real thing. Okay, nothing is more satisfying, okay, and fulfilling than having that honor from the Lord, okay, and being a pleasing vessel and servant for Him. So you're not going to see this type of stuff with the real vessel of the Holy Spirit. That is a huge red flag. And then as you go through the article itself, he's got these little buttons where you can click his his quotes and tweet them, okay? So these are not biblical quotes, okay? They're not like he's trying to spread scripture or anything like that. They're just his own quotes. You can quote him. Okay, so I guess as you're reading the article and you like something he said in the article, you can click it and tweet it and basically quote him, okay? So again, it's just kind of the same stuff where he himself is looking to be glorified. In all honesty, when you really look through it with transparency of the Holy Spirit, okay, he's not looking to spread the Bible, not looking to quote scriptures, you know, it's him. You're going to quote his words, what he thinks, his opinion, and they're not, none of these things that he's looking to have retweeted are biblical at all. And then when you start the actual, and this is all of this that I've gone over is not even getting into the actual article, but I wanted to address him because I've seen this pattern a lot, just a lot of people trying to be famous within the church and honestly glorify themselves and find a position of fame within the church. That's really what it is. And or make money off of the church, okay? Or and then also too, this whole thing of like there's a big move within the lukewarm or fallen away apostate church, it depends on what degree it is, of like really like being critical and judgmental of fiery Christians. You need to be careful of this, okay? So as you start the actual article here, it's the first thing he has. I mean, you go through the article itself, and he talks about Christ, but it's not any actual scripture. But there's a quote from Gandhi. Okay, he's starting out with a quote from Gandhi. Now, if you know who Gandhi is, he's a pagan, okay? And that's what he starts off with, okay? He says, and this is why, this is just funny. I'm sorry, but it's just funny because the quote is, he says, "The problem has been around for a while, okay, this is the author, as Mahatma Gandhi famously and sadly said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Okay, more than likely, Gandhi is, he doesn't know Christ. He's not a Christian. How can he know Christ? I mean, he's not a Christian. He's not a Christian. How does he know Christ? He doesn't know Christ. He doesn't know anything about Christ. It's silly. It's funny. He's not a Christian. You yourself know when you got saved, okay, that you believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but you didn't really know him, okay? You received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches you. Even the church today, the ones who are saved and lost, they really don't even know Christ themselves, okay? That's why this is, like, so funny. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's so off on so many levels, and these people really believe that they know something, but they're dangerous. They're very dangerous, because if you listen to any of this, then you're going to be just way off the mark and pursuing approval of men, okay, and approval of people like this who are false teachers. This is a false teacher. He's quoting a false prophet. Gandhi is a false prophet, okay? This is just really off. This is, like, really bad, okay? But anyways, you yourself know when you got saved, okay, and you first became a Christian, okay, you believe on the name of Jesus, okay, you believe he's the Son of God, you receive the Holy Spirit, and when you receive the Holy Spirit, he teaches you who Christ is. Your whole mind and thinking was way off. You probably thought Christ was someone totally different, okay, and then once you believe, okay, and receive the Holy Spirit by faith, okay, his grace, okay, takes you on this journey where you get to know Christ, and he's revealed to you more and more every day. So who is Gandhi talking about? He doesn't know Christ at all. Of course he likes him, because Gandhi, who probably had a figment of his own imagination, or honestly something probably demonic as to what he thought Christ was like, okay, and is standing in judgment of Christians based upon it. Way off. And then this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not name, I'm sorry, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Okay, and so Gandhi, how much the more? He's not even professing to know Christ, okay? Professing in the name of Christ, okay? He didn't profess to be a Christian, so how much the more someone like him? He doesn't know him, okay? You have to, he's taught to by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have to be very careful because when you hear this, okay, it's universalism, okay? The author of this article, you know, is quoting Gandhi, and Gandhi is in line with the spirit of Antichrist, this one God that everybody's going to like no matter what, one Christ, I'm sorry, that everybody's going to like no matter what, you know, religion they are, okay? It's the same here with this article where the Jesus that he's describing is this Jesus that's all about love and all about mercy and no judgment. Is certainly not the Jesus that's going to come back and that's described in the book of Revelation, rule the nations with a rod of iron and treadeth the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God, which is what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says when Jesus comes back, okay? This is a Jesus that he's describing is both Gandhi, you know, who supposedly Gandhi likes, which I'm sure he wouldn't like that Jesus, the one of the Bible. and it's the same here with this article, okay, which I'm going to talk about here. In the first portion where the author of this article is saying that Christians should not judge. Now, you have to be very careful because he's taking a partial truth, but he's using it in a way that's very dangerous, to be honest with you. If a Christian doesn't know any better, he's saying the first portion, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the first portion is that Christians judge. That's the problem. Okay. They're not supposed to judge and they judge. Okay. Now, it's partially true because the truth of the matter is you can't judge unsaved. The book of Corinthians talks about this. The Apostle Paul says we're supposed to judge within, okay? Meaning other Christians, are you walking according to the Holy Spirit, you know? But you don't judge those that are without because God judges them. And it's true, okay? You can't judge someone who's not saved, okay? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit, so you can't tell them you're walking according to the Holy Spirit or not. They're just judged and they're on the way to hell. That's the truth of the matter, okay? But what he's saying, and it's very tricky, and you have to be very careful, my beloved sisters in Christ, with things like this, because this type of doctrine is kind of, it's fairly prevalent, where they're saying, well, you don't judge me, so you can't tell me anything, okay? You're not supposed to judge me, okay? The Bible says don't judge, okay? And it is true, because it doesn't make any sense. You can't judge someone who's not saved, okay? They're just on the way to hell. You can't really do anything, okay? And when I'm speaking of judging, I'm talking about the judgment that the Apostle Paul commands in the book of Corinthians. We're supposed to judge within because you're supposed to look at your brother or your sister and say, hey, you're in a bad place. You need to repent. You're in trouble. And you are using judgment there, okay? Not the judgment of the Pharisees where they're condemning and stuff like that, okay? That's not what I'm referring to. But you can't judge, okay, those who are unsaved. The goal is to get them saved. And you get them saved so they can receive the Holy Spirit. And then once they receive the Holy Spirit, they'll be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then you can help them walk according to the will of God, okay? And that makes sense. You can't really do that with the unsaved. The goal is to get them saved, okay? But what he's saying here, okay, is that you're supposed to just love people, okay? And so when you hear all this stuff, there's a teaching that goes more into depth about the spirit of Antichrist. It's in the daily teachings, and there's also a reference of the scriptures on the website if you need to see that, comparing the spirit of Antichrist to the true Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, okay, and how it's all this love and flattery and just all this type of stuff, you know. When you hear things like this where it's just love, don't say anything, you know, just love them. Number one, Okay, you don't love them if you don't warn them they're on their way to hell and you don't spread the gospel to them. Okay, that's not how do you love them? Okay, you're gonna be really nice to them and just tell them, you know, a bunch of nice stuff and then watch them walk straight into hell? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, if you love them, you need to spread the gospel. Okay, and that's where this doctrine gets very twisted. Okay, where they say, okay, don't say anything. You know, don't judge. You know. Which in actuality, what they're trying to say is don't spread the gospel and let people know they're on the way to hell, which is the truth, okay? Just love them. Just love them. So a deceived Christian can go, well, okay, I've got a friend that's on their way to hell. I got saved. They're not saved. I'm just going to love them and be really nice to them and pray that they go to heaven. It's not going to work. You got to tell them, okay? You need to open your mouth. You need to walk according to the Holy Spirit, but the Bible commands you to tell them, and it just makes sense because if you just love them and are really nice to them, you know what I mean? They're not going to know anything, and then they can die and end up going to hell, and you didn't do anything for the saving of their souls, okay? Because you're just practicing this, which is really just man-pleasing, okay? But let's look at the scriptures. What does Jesus Christ command, okay? This is Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So you are supposed to spread the gospel. You're supposed to let people know, hey, listen, you need to obey the Lord. You know, there is a hell, okay? And that's what they're talking about. Don't do that. Just love them. Love, 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 okay? And that is not biblical, okay? And it's a direct commandment from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you teach them to observe, okay, whatever it is that he said. So the commandments of the Bible, okay? You need to get them saved and say, listen, you need to live your life according to the will of God, okay? And then again, this is Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 15, Jesus Christ again speaking, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay? Not the same Jesus that these people are talking about, that Gandhi's referring to, that this, the author of this article is referring to, is all about love, love, and mercy, okay? He's saying right there, okay? You believe, you'll be saved. If not, you're going to be damned, okay? Eternal damnation, okay? These, and then he talks about the signs that shall follow you and things like that. But these are commandments directly from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, okay, to spread the gospel and let people know there is a hell, okay, and you need to repent, okay. So it's not biblical, and it's also very dangerous because it's the spirit of Antichrist. What he's trying to teach people, okay, in this article, and the Jesus that Gandhi likes is another Christ. It's not the God of the Bible. And this becomes really clear. The second portion is saying don't be a hypocrite. And that's true. The Bible says don't be a hypocrite. You need to practice, you know, as the expression goes, practice what you preach. Okay, that's true. But this third part, and I have heard this before, and this is just, well, it just becomes very clear that they're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible when you get into this third portion. It says that it's titled Stink at Friendship. And what he's saying here is that you need to pursue friendships, meaningful friendships, okay, with non-Christians. And the Bible says you're not supposed to do that, okay, because for many reasons, but it's spiritually dangerous. You can get pulled off the path. You're supposed to be friends with other Christians, okay? But it becomes really clear that he's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible when you get into this portion of the article. And I've heard this before. He's saying Jesus pursued friendships with people who were different than him, whose lifestyles were far different than anything that God had in mind for them, okay, or for people in relationship with him. He's you got to read your Bible. People just really, oh my goodness, because Jesus ate with sinners, okay? But they were Jews. They believed in the God of Israel, okay? They were repenting. Zacchaeus What does he do? Okay, he runs to him and he says, you know, I'll go over the scripture, but he talks about all the repenting that he's done. Okay, same thing with the woman who was a sinner and washed his feet. Okay, she also too was sorry, and he even said that her sins are forgiven. These are sinners who were trying to find their way to the Lord, to repentance. Okay, they were all trying to turn their life around. Okay, and they believed in the God of Israel. They take that scripture and make it seem like it's, he even says it here. When's the last time you hung out with a sex worker? Okay. No. Okay. You go and you're talking to a sex worker. Your goal, of course, is to spread the gospel and bring her into repentance, but you're not just hanging out. This is very dangerous. Okay. Because they're taking what Jesus did, which is he ministered to sinners, but they were trying to repent. Okay. And saying, just go be friends with people who are not Christians. That's not the same thing. Those are two entirely different things. They are night and day. If someone wants to get saved and they're trying to turn their life around, then absolutely, okay, you minister unto them and you help them. Okay, if someone is not saved and have a life of sin, yes, go and spend time with them, but your goal when you go in is not what these people are talking about, which is just to hang out and be a friend with them. No, the Bible commands the opposite. Okay, your goal is to spread the gospel. You're going in there geared up with the whole armor of God, like it says in Ephesians, so that you don't get tripped up, okay? And you have a purpose, and that is to spread the gospel to them and to bring them into repentance. Now, sometimes, you know what I mean? It takes, you walk according to the Holy Spirit, and you visit with them from time to time, you know what I mean? But your mindset, okay, inwardly, they may not be aware of it, but inwardly is to bring this person to Christ. You're not just hanging out and making friends. That's dangerous, okay? And that's what he's saying. And the script, and he doesn't even have any scriptures, but even if he tried to, the scriptures, okay, were of Jesus showing people, okay, how to repent. He didn't just hang out, okay? Jesus would never do that. If you know the Jesus of the Bible, he wouldn't just hang out with people who were not trying to repent, okay? He'd be rebuking them, okay? Because he's the Son of God, okay? Filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? And speaks the truth. And Jesus makes this very clear, okay, because the Pharisees just flat out ask him, okay. He says, this is Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 30. It says, but the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat with publicans and sinners? Okay, flat out, very easy, okay. Why are you doing this? Okay, verse 31, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's simple, okay? He's calling them to repentance. He's just like, you know, I already mentioned, he's doing a job, okay? He's bringing them into the kingdom of God, okay? He's not just hanging out. There's a purpose, okay? And a reason why he's with them, okay? He says it again here. This is Mark chapter 2. Starting at verse 15, he says, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many that followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of physician. Same thing. But they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay, so it's pretty simple. He's doing something, okay? He's focused on a goal, which is to bring them. He just says it. I don't know. I can't really get simpler than that. And this is not what this man is talking about in this article, okay? It says here, he's saying, this means so much. This means much of the interaction with non-Christians is situational and observational, rather than truly relational. They observe Christians in life and at work and notice traces of judgment and hypocrisy and draw all kinds of conclusions. He's saying, I get that. So he's like defending unbelievers for not liking Christians, basically. It says, but Jesus went so much deeper than that. Jesus pursued friendships with people who were different than him, whose lifestyles are far different than anything God had in mind for them or for people or people or for people in relationship with them. Yet Jesus was their friend. He went to their house for dinner. They traveled together. They shared moments together. They shared moments and meals and life. Okay? So he's taking that scripture and totally twisting it, making it seem like Jesus is just hanging out with sinners and just having friendships. And it's not true, okay? Jesus, he's the Son of God. He's full of the Holy Spirit. Really, you know, what it boils down to is you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because then you will really know Jesus, and this will just sound strange, okay? Because it is strange. When you know the Jesus of the Bible, he's full of the Holy Spirit, so he's going to be telling people when they're wrong, okay? And when he's spending time with people, like he says, he's bringing them into repentance, okay? But he's not just going to hang out with a sex worker and not say anything to her, okay? Even the woman at the well, he deals with her about her sin, but he does it in a way with a lot of wisdom. But he mentions the fact you've had five husbands, okay? And none of them were actually your husband. You're fornicating, okay? And he deals with her about her sin. He does it in a way, like I mentioned, with wisdom, but he still deals with it, okay? And then this is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is where the Apostle Paul is talking to Christians, okay, talking to the church. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he with he that believeth with an infidel," which is like an unbeliever. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So this guy is just making stuff up, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. He's just making up his own doctrine, because the Bible says flat out, you're not supposed to be yoked with unbelievers, just be friends with Christians. Once again, though, you don't be proud, okay, and leave someone who's not saved, you know, behind in your heart without fighting for their soul. You need to care for their soul so they do get saved, okay? You know, you walk in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit will lead you, okay? But you need to love, you know, the unbeliever so that you can do what you can for their salvation, okay? But the Bible just says it. You're not supposed to be friends, okay? You're not supposed to be yoked together with unbelievers. And he's saying you're supposed to. He's just wrong. He's just making stuff up. And he's just dead wrong. That's really all there is to it. The guys are wrong. So I'll go ahead and leave it there. That covers the majority of the article. And I'll post the scriptures that are referenced in this teaching on the website. That way, in case any sister is trying to, if you need it for yourself, or if you're trying to, sometimes I come across this with sisters where they're trying to like reason with somebody. Who's deceived by something like this, to help them understand why things like this are not biblical. So you'll have that resource on the website. But one thing I do want to just mention before finishing up with this article is that he does talk in the beginning about not being too, what he calls judgmental, which is just basically obeying the scriptures, which I already went over the scriptures on that. When Jesus says you're supposed to go and teach and preach, you need to speak and tell people, you know, what the Bible says about God's commandments. He says you shouldn't go too far in that direction, but also you shouldn't go too far in the other direction where you never talk about your faith, and that makes it sound like, okay, this is a really good, you know, way to be, right? don't be too preachy, but still talk about your faith, right? Which, no, actually, that's just being lukewarm. It's the middle road, right? You're supposed to be on fire, and you need to speak the gospel. But I want to mention that because it is important, because it's very easy to talk about your faith, okay? You're not really going to be persecuted for talking about why God is good and why you should pray and how he helped you. And those types of things generally, for the most part, at least here in the United States, they're not going to get you persecuted. They're not going to really ruffle anybody's feathers, you know. And in all honesty, it's something that will sort of, it's very pleasing to a vast majority of people, period. A lot of people, you even see this with people, you know, on television, which you know they're not Christians, and they, you know, celebrities, things like that, and they say, okay, please pray for me, you know what I mean, or pray for us, we're going through this difficult time. And you're asking yourself, and if you're not, you know, filled with the Spirit and in line with the Word of God, you can think, well, no, they're Christian or something, they're asking for prayer, but who are they praying to? Is the question, you know, who is this God, you know, that is very easy and anybody can talk to? A lot of people like to think it's the Father, but you have to come through Christ Jesus, okay, to speak to the Father. So they're speaking to somebody else. And this article and things like this, where you don't really, you know, get too fiery, right, with the scriptures, and you just kind of tone it down and then talk about your faith. Well, what direction and what God is that pushing you towards? Who are you pleasing? You know what I mean? Are you merging with people who are talking to a different God? Okay, that is easy, okay, to receive and not going to upset anybody. You have to be really careful with stuff like this because it's very easy not to be very specific and not to talk about the Bible, the KJV Bible, and the stuff that nobody wants to hear, and just talk about your faith. A lot of Christians are able to do that. And why? Because it doesn't upset anybody. A lot of people believe in God, but the question is which God, okay? And you don't want to be joined to things like that because, once again, that's preparation for the Antichrist. Someone is going to show up, and it is going to be that God, okay? And everybody's going to love and receive him, okay? And it's not our God. It's a different God. I'll go ahead and leave it there for today. Father, I just ask for any sister that's listening to this, that she just reads her KJV Bible from cover to cover. When she's done, reads it again, and has to be filled with the Holy Spirit so she can understand these things. Ask all these praise, Father, Son, in Jesus' name, amen.